We're in the book of Revelation, so if you would turn to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Now, to those in the choir this morning, this will sound very familiar with the storyline. And I think it's necessary to do this to understand 15 and 16 in Revelation. Verse 1, chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Now the law here is twofold. It's the Word of God. I mean, the law mentioned in Scripture means the Word of God. Judgments means the Word of God. Commandments means the Word of God. Statutes means Word. But here it's talking about a specific word, a specific law. And that was the ceremonial law. That was the law that God gave Israel to deal with their sin. It wouldn't save them, but it would make them safe. You know, it's like a child, an infant. If an infant dies, it's not saved, but it's safe. Because Paul said that when the law came, I died. In other words, when I understood I was a sinner, then I'm responsible. And that's what it was here with the ceremonial law. They were to use the ceremonial law to secure themselves, to make themselves safe from sin. So he says this, for the law having a shadow. Now everyone knows what a shadow is, don't you? What is a shadow? It's a reflection of something real. I mean, if there's nothing real, there won't be a shadow. What could cast a shadow? A shadow don't cast a shadow, does it? No. It takes something real. So what he's saying is, the law having a shadow of good things to come. In other words, the law wasn't the end all, but it was to show them the end all. Once they realized that they couldn't keep the law, they knew they had to have something greater. So he says, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never. Now when God says can never, folks, I'm going to leave it right there. I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to try to prove it. God says it can never. The shadow can never. He says he can never with those sacrifices which they offered years by year, continually make the comers thereunto. Now, I want someone in this class to paraphrase that last portion for me. Very quickly now. Come on, impress me. Huh? Well, that I want you to substitute for perfect one word. Huh? Huh? Boy, I'm getting saved, redeemed, perfect, purified, righteous. But let's make it to go with Revelation. Huh? Oh, she got it. Seven. Remember I've told you? You'll always be a six till God makes you a seven. And he says the law can't ever do that. You'll always be six if you're trying to keep the law. If you're trying to be saved by the law. The law only makes you safe. But once the law comes and you understand your sin, now you're in a place where the law can't help you. And that's what he's talking about to these Hebrew people in this book. They are right there. I've told you several times. They're right here. This is the line. Back here's Judaism. Here's Christ. And what he's saying is, leave that. Come to Christ. Christ can make you seven. If you stay back here, you'll always be. Oh, you're getting it. Good. I like it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. In other words, if the law could have saved you, could have made you seven, could have made you perfect, you wouldn't have thought of sin anymore. You say, Tom, I still think of sin. Oh, I don't. I don't. I take God at His word. I'm sinless. Now, the flesh I'm in, it's never going to know anything but sin. That's why I fight it every day. That's why Paul says kill it every day. But it's not me, see. That's where you make the distinction. Once you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. They're gone. All things are made. Oh, I tell you this. Y'all work for Christmas, I can tell. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year they had to come back. I don't know if y'all have ever leased an apartment or something, or you know, but you get a year lease, right? And at the end of that year, you have to renew it. Otherwise, they evict you. Well, that's what would happen here. Every year, they had to come back and do the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement. Take care of their sins. Roll them back. They weren't saved. They were rolled back. They were saved. Okay. For it is not possible. Now, if God says it's not possible, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going anywhere with it. I'm going to just say, hey, God said it wasn't possible. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats. What was it that Moses put over the door? Huh? Blood. Blood of the Lamb. Did it save them? No, bless God, it made them safe, and the angel of the Lord didn't stop there that night. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So if it's not possible, and if it could never make you seven, we're done. Hope don't awake in Bethlehem. There's no joy to the world. There's no Noel. There's no Emmanuel. There's no God with us if God leaves us there. Oh, He didn't, honey, because He wrote another verse. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Yeshua, a deliverer, one who would rescue you. And you don't ever, glory, you don't ever have to sign another lease. Your sins are moved as far east as far as the east is from the west, and cast to His back. When He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. I can't accept these. These aren't going to get it done. The blood of bulls and goats won't ever save you. But a body. But God says, I'm going to paraphrase my way now. But if I give myself a body and I become the sacrifice and my blood is shed and it's my death that happens, you won't just be safe, bless God, you'll be saved. And you won't ever have to come back and do it again. Because once is enough. You say, Tom, it don't say that. I hadn't got there yet. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. God is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. Folks, you can't stand before God with sin. The ceremonial law covered them, rolled them back. But they's going to show up again. But after Christ came, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. You know the woman at the well? She met the one that the scriptures had written about, the volume of the books. And he said, honey, my words, if you'll believe in me, you won't ever thirst again. The thirst won't come back. I've never thirsted to be saved again since February 1982, folks. I've never thirsted to be saved again because I've trusted God. I'm saved. If God says I'm saved, you can't convince me I'm not. I can't convince me I'm not. God's convinced me I am. And when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What does he mean there? Law, and put himself in that place. And now when you come, it's not a year at a time. It's not a million years at a time. It's not a trillion years at a time. It's eternal. Eternal. Hallelujah. All because a baby came. I know this year, time of year, kids get excited and talk about Santa, and that's okay. That's wonderful. That's children. But boy, that ought not be on our minds this morning. This is what we ought to be thankful for. The Messiah. The promised one. The one Isaiah wrote about. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sacrifices. Oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man. Oh, this man opposed to them men. That those men, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, one, not over and over, one time, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Why did he sit down on the right hand of God? Scripturally speaking now, I know we all got our own ideas. But scripturally speaking, why did he sit down on the right hand of God? The Bible tells us. It's finished. Well, your salvation's finished, brother. But your journey's not. You're still in that flesh. And it's an everyday fight, folks. If you're not fighting it, you better check up on yourself. Huh? Hey, if the Bible says if the flesh has got control of you, the Spirit ain't in you. The reason he sat down at the right hand of the Father was to make intercession for us. Here's what I mean. I've told you before. I'll go over here, Lynn. He don't care. Here he is now. And Lynn messes up and sins again. Again. I said again. You know what Jesus does for you? Glory, I'll tell you what, I'll shout here in a second. He looks over at the Father. He says, Father, forgive him. He's mine. He's acting wrong, but he's mine. And you know what the Bible says? It says, God forgives you for his sake. Amen. I like that. I like that. I like being saved. I like being secure. And I like being safe. Joy to the world, the Lord hath come. For by one offering he hath, what's that word? Well, somebody give me another word for it. For by one offering he hath made seven. Forever them that are give me another word for sanctified starts with an H, next letter is O, next letter is L, next letter is Y, and that's all there is. I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't holy, you ain't saved. I'm not talking about a little old halo over your head where people say, oh, he thinks or she thinks they're holier than that, you know. I'm not talking about that, folks. I'm talking about holy as God is holy. He says, for without holiness, no man. Well, bless God, if we're counting on our own holiness, we're not going to see him. Same thing if we're counting on our own righteousness, we're never going to see him. For he who knew no sin became sin and made us the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. You are righteous. You are holy. You are sanctified. You are saved. You are secure. You are safe. Bless God, not because of you, but because of God. And if that's not reason to come in here and praise him this morning, then let's go home. I'm not going home, by the way. That was a rhetorical question. And I got to hurry because I haven't got to the verse I want to get to. Oh, no, it's 10:20. I got to quit early, too. I mean, they've put the time frame on me. I'm going, honey. I'm going. Okay. He says this. Wherefore, because he's done that, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness. Huh? Now, so we all in this one verse, we've seen the Father work, the Son work. Oh, now we're going to see the Holy Ghost work. And I'll tell you unequivocally, without doubt, without any hesitation, if the Holy Spirit's not in you, you're as lost as you can be. You will split hell wide open. You can't fake it. You can't hope it. You can't think it. You either got him or you don't. It's like that commercial, what's in your wallet? Well, no, what's in your soul? Because he says it here. He says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with thee. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because he looks and he doesn't see you. He doesn't see me. And I stand here shamefully telling you, bless God, I'm glad he don't sometimes. I wouldn't want you to see me sometimes the way I act. I know I wouldn't want God to see me, but you know, brother, he don't. He sees the Lamb. He sees the Son. He sees the Holy Spirit. And he says, bless God, they're mine. He sees his name written on my forehead. He says he's mine. Glory, that's good stuff. I don't care what anybody says. Joy to the world. Now, where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for. Why would you offer for sins that's gone? That'd be sort of stupid, wouldn't it? I mean, why would you write a check when you ain't got no money in the bank? That's sort of stupid. They arrest you. They did my wife. They come to the door and arrested my wife. Oh, I was mad. I went to your bank, too. Well, it was a long, drawn-out story, but I'd been in the car business, you know, quite a few years, and so I decided I wanted to go play golf for a living, so I went to Florida to play professional golf, and I just sold all my cars and left. Well, this other guy that was on the lot with me, he stayed there. Well, he sold cars and didn't pay taxes. Well, guess whose name it was in? And I didn't know. I thought I was out of business. So I came back up here, and I'm working, you know. And one day, there's the old deputy at the door. My wife had wrote a check at the food store, at the grocery store, and it wasn't worth 5 cents because the state had come and took all the money out of the bank, savings and checking, and didn't tell me a thing. Oh, that was one of them times I'm glad the Lord didn't see me. I wasn't a happy camper because I knew I hadn't done anything. But I had because I should have got down my neck. Well, anyway, I digressed. As we say in the play, I digressed. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, what's faith? Oh, come on, class. I've got guests in here with me today. What is faith? Hold it up. You've got it in your hand. Right here is faith, folks. Faith is not some ideological thing. Faith is what God says. If you don't trust this, you have no faith. If you do trust it, you have faith. You're trusting in God. So he says, this is what counts, my word. You can have full assurance that what I tell you is true. He says, did I not say my son would come? Well, did my son come? I mean, everything God's all ever said, he said, it's come to pass. So he says, why wouldn't you have full assurance in this? Do that, he says. And then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. No, it's what we trust in, which is the word, without wavering. And I'm telling you, the days are coming. I don't know if my lifetime, I don't know if this brother's lifetime, I don't know that. It could. But the days are coming, folks. You're going to have to stand for this. You young people better listen to me. The days are coming when if you stand for this, you're going to be an outcast. You could even be locked up. If you don't think I'm right, just keep going. And you'll see one day that that's the case. That's why it says hold fast this. Don't let go of it. It's your surety. So he says this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking. I don't understand this right here in today's terms. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many people in here think the day is approaching. But if you don't, you got your head in the sand. If you don't think Christ is getting close, folks, you got your head in the sand. So he says, based on you, now he said this is the word. So if you believe that, what should we be doing? Bless God, we ought to be in here more, not less. They oughtn't to be half on a Sunday night what there is on Sunday morning. They oughtn't to be a third on Wednesday night than there is on Sunday morning. If you believe this, we need more in here holding on to each other. I know that's hard. I know that's not today's message. It's God's message. I don't believe it's changed. I've read it for years. I've got it memorized. It's not changed. It's not going to change. Now, I'll tell you what else is not going to change here. Oh, gosh, I got to hurry. I ain't got to the verse I want yet. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Here's what he's saying there. He says, listen, after I've told you the old way is no good, and you just go on like you are, willfully sinning, ain't no sacrifice for you. Right. Yeah, I've told you the one thing that bothers me. I see people when they talk about religion. I just saw this week where 30% now. That I don't know how they come up with these numbers, but a poll, whatever that is, but it said 30% have no religious affiliation. Do not like organized religion. Well, I'm going to give you my idea of that. 30%, bless God, just want to live like they want to. But I got news for them. I'm in that 30%. I don't believe in organized religion either. Here's my religion, folks. And God says for me not fail to be here. Not for me. I told you I got full assurance. Not for me. for you. You may need encouraging. You may be disheartened. You may be despondent. You may be down. You may be hurting. I need to be here for you. You need to be here for me. You say, Tom, you don't ever get down. You don't know. I get down a lot. I get disheartened a lot. I don't care. Tell you, y'all take it what you want to. I don't care. See, I'm like Judge Judy. I don't care. When I sat here in that corner on Sunday night or Wednesday night and I look back, I wonder, where is everybody? Is God changed? Is he not the same? Did he not tell us to be here? I know you sometimes you can't. Don't get me wrong. I understand sickness. I understand work. I understand those things. God understands those things. But he don't understand, bless God, just sitting at home because you don't want to come. And if that seems harsh, you'll have to take it up with him. Oh, that's right. You will. All right, I've got to read on now. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now in this one chapter, we've seen God work. We've seen Christ work. We've seen the Holy Spirit work. And we've been given a promise of a new covenant that is eternal. Nothing based on us, folks. Everything based on God. If God don't give his son, we're done. If God don't send the Holy Spirit, we're done. God's done everything. If you're saved this morning, God's done everything to save you. You've done nothing. I've done nothing. Christ came and humiliated himself and put himself in flesh. You think about that. The very one that said, let there be. Cast out stars. Set the sun in place. Set the moon in place. Told the ocean, now you can't go any farther. I don't care what these fools on climate change think. When God says the ocean will stop here, it'll stop there. Don't worry. If you don't believe me, go try to buy some of their oceanfront property cheap. They don't believe it's going to rise. Come on in, brother. Yeah. They don't believe it's going to rise either. But that little baby. This is something else. I'm going to come right here. You're listening. That little baby that Mary held his little hand. Give me a hand. That little hand, the Bible says, was holding up all creation. Glory. You want to know how great God is? He can put himself as a one-month-old baby, bless God, and hold it all up while he's laying in a manger. That's who God is. He humiliated himself to do that. He was brutalized at Calvary. Died for your sins. Died for my sins. He's done it all in. And that's why this next verse is what it is. I got to get up here. I can't see. He that despised Moses' law died. Somebody say it loud. Died without mercy. Moses' law. If you committed adultery, they took you out and stoned you to death. If you picked up sticks on the Sabbath, they stoned you to death. And I hear people say, well, boy, it's a good thing we're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, let's see if it is. Let's see if it is. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Well, how many people have spoke so far? God, Christ, and who did he say that third witness was? Remember, the Holy Spirit is a witness. So we got three witnesses, right? Well, he says, of how much more punishment? How much more punishment? Suppose ye, think ye, shall he. Notice the pronoun there, folks. I know we're living in a day and age, bless God, where you can't use pronoun anymore. I am. It's he's and she's. That's who it is. It's he's and she's. Anything else right out of hell, I don't care what anybody tells you. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he or she be thought worthy who hath trodden. Y'all know what trodden is, don't you? Just that right there. Trodden underfoot the Son of God. I don't have children. But I'll guarantee you, I know one thing. You people who have children, you let somebody do that to them. I'll come over here, Lynn. You're looking at me. Lynn, you let somebody do that to her. You see if Lynn gets, you know, I ain't never seen a man angry. But you see, if he gets angry, well, he ain't seen no anger like God's anger. You've treated his son, you've trodden his son under your foot, he says, and have counted the blood of the covenant, the very thing, without the shedding blood, there's no remission of sin, the very thing, bless God, that saves us. You counted an unholy thing. And hath done, and wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the spirit of. Did you notice the three in the one verse? The three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that did everything for us to save us. And when you reject him, you're doing that. And you're saying his blood is worthless and the Holy Spirit is useless. He says, what do you think I should do to him? Huh? You say, oh, Tom, come on. I got 3 minutes here. I got to hurry. You say, what's that got to do with Revelation? Oh, it has everything to do with it. John says this, chapter 15, verse 1. I looked, and another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, which is filled up with the wrath of God. Does anybody remember chapter 2 in Psalms, the last verse I gave you? Does anybody remember any portion of it? It says this, and then I'm done. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And his wrath is kindled but a little. If you reject his son, if you trod underfoot his son, if you count the blood of the covenant that sanctified you an unholy thing, and if you do despite unto the spirit of grace, you'll answer to God for it. In the worst wrath you can imagine. You can't even imagine it. I'm done.